Hare Krishna. Oh, thank you. Minor detail. So, our process of initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is being received from Lord Brahma, Madhvacharya, down through disciplic succession to Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then on down through to our Param Guru, or our Guru, our Diksha Guru, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Charya of the Vishwa Antarashtriya Sri Krishna Bhavana Sangh, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is that we first develop some attraction or interest in the temple, in the devotees. There are generally seen to be four general reasons why people come in the first place, in the very beginning. The first is out of curiosity. Somebody may come here, they may see the Harinam Sankirtan, and they may say, what is that, and follow back to the temple, something like that. They get an interest. Many people come here, at least in the past, when we didn't have a big temple, people would come to Chandan Takis. And just by the way, they would see the devotees here, so their curiosity, they came. One may come out of distress. Generally speaking, this is the largest group, because in Kali Yuga, it is dosha nidhe. And this age of Kali Yuga is like the winter season. The winter season is very cold and bitter and a lot of inclement weather, bad weather, and you can say a lot of suffering, physical suffering. In Kali Yuga, there's an ocean of bad qualities, but there's one good thing about Kali Yuga, and that is Kirtanadeva, Krishnasya, Mukta Sangam, Param Brajet. That the method of self-realization is relatively easy. One simply has to chant the holy names, Nam, Sankirtan, Nam, Japa, etc. And there are different ways of doing kirtan, that is called Navalakshana, but today we're talking directly about the sound, chanting Hare Krishna. Or one may come in need of money. That also is there. One may approach the temple because his business is not doing well, and he's heard that if you give some donation to the deities, then there's some jadu, and the deity has got some potency, and my business will do better. Or for various reasons, one may approach the deity for money. And the fourth group is the group that is actually appreciated more by Krishna, those who approach him in search of knowledge. Brahmanda Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, after searching throughout the universe, one may come to realize Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan. When one becomes a little learned, mam prapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti, that there is nothing more than God and the jiva. Our relationship with God is the meaning of life, to achieve perfection in that relationship, and all of our eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all of our business, all of our family life, everything, social life, culture life, it is all meant to help us achieve this eternal loving relationship with Krishna. So, for one of these four reasons, someone may come here to the temple. Then they may, in the course of coming to the temple, they may meet some devotee. Hopefully they will meet some devotee. Hopefully those who are residing in the ashram, their only business is to receive guests and to give people a royal welcome, make them feel happy, and to answer their spiritual questions. Otherwise, the purpose of going to a temple is to meet the saintly persons there. If there are no saintly persons, if there is no preaching going on in that temple, then it is just some brick and stone, really. It's not important. The reason we go to the temple is to listen, to hear the transcendental knowledge. So, someone meets a devotee, gets some instruction, takes further interest. This is explained by Rupa Goswami, adau shraddha. Adau shraddha means, in the beginning, one has some faith. I explained four reasons. Then, tatha sadhu sangota. One associates with saintly persons, with Vaishnavas. I don't think there is any other rule or regulation more important than this one. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi. All the scriptures say. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastre Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The value of associating with purified persons, clean-hearted persons, straightforward persons, non-envious persons, the value of associating with them in our search for spiritual life cannot be calculated. In fact, even 1/11, and I don't know why it's not 1/9 or 1/12, but the expression is 1/11. Lava matra, 1/11th of a second. Even that less association is more important than associating with materialistic persons. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that one should rather live in a cage with wild lions and tigers. You will be safer. I don't know if any of you have seen the circus. I'm sure you all have. In fact, Apollo Circus, Gemini Circus, we know the owner of those circuses very well. He's an old friend from 72, 71. So anyway, those lions and tigers are very vicious and they can rip you apart. 800 pounds sometimes, big tiger, very big, ferocious teeth animal. But you're safer in their association than to associate with materialistic men and women, because they will lead you not only to one death, but to death many millions of times, birth and death, by hearing from them. Your chetana, your consciousness will be dirtied, sullied, will become impure. So sadhu sangha is so important, tato sadhu sangota, bhajana kriya. Then one is engaged in some type of spiritual activity. It begins with chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, but there are many activities in devotional service and one should try to be engaged. So this beginning, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, there are rules and regulations for chanting. Of course, in the beginning, there are no rules and regulations. Meaning that one should first come to the point of appreciating the value of spiritual life before he takes the next step and goes deeper and becomes more engaged. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is that verse? One should, first his mind should be engaged, then later on introduce rules and regulations. Anyway, so one follows this process as described by Rupa Goswami, and at a certain stage one sees that I need to formally establish within my own heart, my link to Krishna and my determination to achieve Krishna. In other words, initiation is not the goal. As Devaki Nandan Prabhu was nicely explaining, initiation means to be on the path, to be put on the path formally, before you were casual about it. If there were a good cricket match or a movie on television, then you wouldn't go to the temple that week. Or you're casual about it, not so serious. But when one becomes more fixed up, more intelligent, generally one becomes fixed up due to his intelligence. He sees not only the seriousness required for pure devotional service, but he sees that the pleasure is greater. The pleasure of serving the Vaishnavas, the pleasure of serving the deity, the pleasure of serving Rishikesh, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, Bhakti Ruchate, the pleasure of engaging in bhakti by serving the master of the senses. This is greater than my former activities of sitting around the house watching television all day or going to the cinemas. Someone was telling me the other day, noticing that all the cinema songs sound exactly the same. The instruments are changed a little bit, the words are changed, but it's all done in a studio and it all has the same kind of sound. The whole material world has the same kind of taste. It's just puna punas charvita charvananam. It's simply chewing what's already been chewed again and again and again, the same business. Ahar nidra bhai maitunam cha dharmena hina pashubhi samanaha. Without spiritual life, we're just like the animals. So when one becomes serious, he may desire to become formal, and therefore he requires a representative of Krishna. Now all the Vaishnavas here are representatives of Krishna, representatives of Prabhupada, but some of the senior devotees are officially recognized as representatives, although all the devotees are representatives, and one should not treat the representatives of Krishna differently. One should give full respect to all the representatives that are nicely following and are giving proper siksha. But out of all of those, one may develop an interest in one particular Vaishnava and say, I will now formally establish my link by connecting myself with this person. We will establish this formal connection, just like all women are beautiful. But a man, due to his senses, his mind, his psychophysical nature, he chooses one woman. Although all young girls are all beautiful, I'm sure. Haven't noticed lately, but... So there's a formal ceremony in which he recognizes this woman will act as my wife. And there are certain rules and regulations, of course, about that. Then you stop. Then you see all other women as a mata, matravat paradareshu. One sees all other women as one's mother. Anyway, so then the process is that one approaches a temple authority and one has to write a test. We don't allow anybody to take initiation who wants to. But for the first 6 months or more, could be 6 years also, for the first period of one's life, minimum 6 months, one should study the teachings of our founder Acharya, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He is very special in our line. Generally, the grandfather is more merciful than the father. The Param Guru is always special. Just like for us, our Param Guru is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we also pray to him for his blessings. But for all of us in the international society, Srila Prabhupada is our main Siksha Guru, and everything should be judged in accordance with the teachings of Srila Prabhupada the system of management which he set up. In other words, even interpreting Srila Prabhupada's instructions can become conflicting, or what is the word? It can become contentious. There can be some contention. I say that Prabhupada meant this. No, I've got Prabhupada's books and I'm sure it means this. So Prabhupada's system while he was here on the planet was that the governing body would be the final authority in all management affairs, and that means in regard to everything. Spiritual management means in regards to everything. So we settle our differences in that way, and one has to take this test in order to see that you are properly qualified, that you have read Prabhupada's books, and that you understand his teachings as given to us by the authorities. The books are there. You can understand them yourself. They're self-evident. It's not hard. Prabhupada did not try to make it complicated to get a reputation. He wasn't writing to please the Pulitzer Prize or the Nobel Prize for books. He was writing to save people's lives. And he wanted to communicate the, as it is, yatha rup, meaning, to everyone. So his books are very easy to understand, if you want to understand. But if there is some difficulty in understanding, then the final authority is the GBC body or the local area management body or the temple authorities. You can get help in many places. But the point is, this test will establish after 6 months that you have actually understood Prabhupada, you've understood the meaning of his mission, ISKCON, what it is for, and what it is meant to achieve. You have understood who your Diksha Guru is, what his authority and power are in relationship to the GBC. Everybody in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a Das. We are the Das family, the Das brothers. So we are all servants of Srila Prabhupada and of his GBC body. That is how we work together, and that is how we are successful. We have our differences. There are a lot of sometimes, not fights, but arguments or debates. But finally it is settled with an embrace and a kirtan. Or it may wait for a year or two, but finally these things are settled. Because we're all trying to please Srila Prabhupada and our Diksha Guru and our Siksha Gurus. And they all want that we should work together cooperatively. So after you pass that test, 13 questions, then you are qualified to look for a Diksha Guru. It is not that the first day you walk in the temple, you fix your mind on the sannyasi who has the most gold or has the biggest car, or that is not our process. No, you should focus your mind on that sannyasi who has the biggest car. Srila Prabhupada, he has a swan car, and he has the most followers. We're all his followers, and he has the best knowledge. He's the best preacher. Srila Prabhupada is the best of everything. So you focus your mind on Srila Prabhupada for 6 months, and you can even lament that you were not here when he was on this planet only a few years back. But finally, at a certain stage after that, you have to look for a living representative of Srila Prabhupada. That is the process. One who was disciple, after the departure of his guru, he is now guru. Not all gurus are one. We have to judge by their ability to preach and to convert others and to purify the environment by their holy presence. So none of us can ever think, ever hope to even compare ourselves to Srila Prabhupada. It's one of those things, it just doesn't come in the mind because it's so obviously impossible. And there have been people in the past who thought that they were now the new Prabhupadas. I'm very sorry to say that those few people are now gone. They died a spiritual death. So we're always Prabhupada Nugas. So still, you look for someone who reminds you of Lord Krishna, who helps you to remember Prabhupada, or to remember Rupa Goswami, our whole disciplic succession. This is after 6 months or a year, whatever your waiting period is. Then, when you find someone, by hearing, again, everything is not by sight, or by preconception, or by some popular misconception, guru should be like this, guru should be like that. No. We know what guru is like. Srila Prabhupada has explained in his books, and you can find out there, and you can see how Prabhupada preached. We have many books on his life. Not only one biography, but many biographies of Srila Prabhupada. And there, practically one scholar in America, he said the Christians have only one book on the life of Jesus Christ, and that also a few chapters, very short. He said, you Hare Krishnas are amazing. You have a book for every day in the life of Srila Prabhupada, practically. So there will be many more books. You can understand how Prabhupada lived and preached and how he applied the Shastras. And then you make your choice. So at that point, you approach that person and show him your letter of, I have written the 13 questions. I know what I'm looking for. I want to accept you as my Diksha Guru. He may agree to accept you on a trial basis, and he may give you work to do and see how you do it, how you follow the instructions exactly. He may test you in so many ways. You can also test him a little more carefully. Test in a sense of hearing. Is this the person who inspires me? So I know one devotee in Germany. I mean, anyway, one devotee. I know devotees who have waited for his diksha for 3-4 years. And after 3-4 years, he concluded that these are not my disciples. They won't follow my instructions exactly as I want. And now it's a well-known fact. It's not cruel in the sense that it's pretty well known. If you want to take initiation from this sannyasi, then you have to risk being put to strict tests, and you may not. So that's his desire. He can do that. The guru can make you wait a little longer. It's really not a matter of time, because initiation is in the heart. Real initiation is in the heart. Do you accept guru agya? Do you accept the order of the guru? How well do you apply it in your life? How meticulous are you with following the details and doing your service perfectly? The Japanese became the biggest dynamo in the world, the biggest business organization in the world. Of course, now they're in deep, deep recession, but in their years of prosperity, they had one slogan about their products. And I remember very clearly in the 50s and 60s, when you got something from Japan, it meant cheap, cheap, cheap quality. It looked exactly like products made in the USA, but it was totally inferior. So finally, the Japanese developed a good business ethic or a good business attitude, and their slogan was Kaizen. Japanese word Kaizen, Kaizen, Kaizen. To improve each product every day 1%. Thinking not so much in terms of making quick sales, but thinking in terms of making long-term customers. There's a difference between sales, quick sale, you get the profit, they get the product. The product breaks down after 3 weeks, but your warranty's only 2 weeks, so you laugh in their face. You know, it's a cheating business. Goes on everywhere. But no, they make good products, just like I don't like to make any advertisement, but I just have to say it because they're universally famous, and in my experience also, when I buy something from IBM, they're incredible. Anywhere in the world you go, they honor their warranty. They'll take something, they'll look at it, it's broken, They'll ask you a few questions and immediately they replace it with a brand new product, or generally brand new. Sometimes they may replace it with something that's been factory renovated or whatever. But they have, in my mind, I'll buy always IBM. They cost a little bit more than other brands, but the service they give is so good. So Guru may test you. What is your service attitude? Are you interested in giving good quality service? Are you just out for a show? So after that, you again have to approach the temple authorities. Then they tell you the president or his committee may test you, ask you questions. If you get their recommendation, then you can take initiation. So it's not so easy thing. We want you to be satisfied in spiritual life. We want you to get a good product. So we have standards. We have standards and we follow them. So I'm going to pass out to all the initiates. These are laminated sheets. You take them home with you. You keep them and always read them. I'm just going to pass these out. You going to do it? Huh? No, just those. These are the 10 offenses. Actually, give me one, Mayapur. Mayapur, give me one. Yeah. One of you will have to wait. Okay. This is very, very important. We'll try to go through them relatively quickly because they'll mean more to the initiates and they can read them at home, but we've heard them before. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well. So loudly done, either in Harinam Sankirtan or even in Japa. Japa should be audible. You at least should hear your Japa. If you don't want to disturb your neighbors, that's okay. You can keep it a little less loud. But you should hear it. And this is recommended in the Padma Puran. It should be without offenses. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. So I'm not taking your sin, but I'm helping you to stay on the path. And if I can't do that, then I may get some reaction. But it is Krishna who's taking away your sin, and you have to stay on the path. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. One cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Puran as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. This is sadhu ninda, or offending Vaishnavas in any way. We have to avoid that. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. So this is the religion of the age. This mission which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing, that Srila Prabhupada has established, it is the true religion. And that is simply chanting the holy names. If you're a Christian and you like your guru, Jesus Christ, fine. You chant the names of Jesus, you chant the names of Jehovah, and we have no problem If you're attached to that, you stay there. But you chant the holy names, and we will chant with you if you like. If you like to chant the name of Allah and you're actually following the teachings of Allah, you remain in your place, sthane stitha. You remain a Muslim. If you like your Guru Muhammad or his representative, the local mullah, fine, we have no problem with that. But you chant the holy name. This is the religion of the age, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And all these names, if chanted purely, are powerful. And there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. We've already talked about the order of the spiritual master and the need for you to take that very seriously. Srila Prabhupada was reading the Bhagavad Gita commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I hope someday you will advance in your studies that you may also read that someday. Not now, you stick with Prabhupada's books, but someday there are many Vaishnav literatures which are full of nectar. So there's one verse. What is that verse? Prabhupada was reading, I can't remember. Ananyas Chintayantamam? Huh? What? I can't hear. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, that's it. One should accept the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul. In other words, we have many responsibilities in our life. We have our business responsibility. If you're a businessman, if you're a student, you have to graduate. If you're a married man, you have your wife and children and parents to look after. You have so many responsibilities. And God will give you full blessings to satisfy them if you are Krishna conscious. The first and most important responsibility in your life is to be God conscious. We should not neglect the orders of the spiritual master. If we have trouble following the order of the spiritual master due to some logistical problems, some practical difficulties, then you discuss. The spiritual master is not just a cold machine, but he's a person. He can understand you. He can just talk with you, and maybe his instruction, and you should be prepared to follow. Now, at this point, no one need be embarrassed. Believe me, people will see you as a man of principle. But if anyone has trouble with this rule, then now is the time to say, I don't think I'm ready for initiation. You can stop it now. If anybody's got a problem. It's not funny matter, it's actually quite true. The fourth offense is to vilify the scriptures. This word vilify means to blaspheme or to say something negative against, or to vilify can take many levels. The fourth offense is to vilify the scriptures or Vedic knowledge. So we have to respect the scriptures, and there are things we won't understand. They're beyond our comprehension, but still we have to accept them, and gradually we'll come to understand. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from Him. So, binadvam nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna and His holy name, and we should not think that when it says, by chanting Krishna's name, you can cleanse more sin than any man could accumulate in one lifetime. Even if he were the worst of all sinners, he spent every second of his life going to movies, being with loose women, or the opposite sex, women being with loose men. Even if you spend all your time eating meat and drinking and everything, you could not commit enough sin that the holy name cannot cleanse. We should not think that the holy name is limited. This is Krishna. Krishna is not in his holy name. One devotee was telling a guest that Krishna is in his holy name. And Prabhupada corrected, no, he's not in his holy name. Krishna is his holy name. In other words, in a very metaphorical, a beautiful metaphor, when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna dances on your tongue, the same Shyam Sundar, the same Radha Ras Bihari. He dances on your tongue when you chant his name. He is his name. And therefore we have to be careful chanting. Because if we don't chant nicely, carefully, then as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am bruising the body of my Lord. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think his holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. Well, this applies to two groups of people. One group of people never come to the temple, never associate with the devotees. They think that the devotees are simply naive. They are sentimentalists. So-called Vedantists may think that. They may think that these are all just like women and children doing some sentimental chanting. Or it may be a gross materialist who thinks these people are just parasites in society. They have no value. They're just chanting Hare Krishna. And there's no, I might as well chant the latest song by Madonna or whatever. There's no value in this chanting Hare Krishna. I get more pleasure out of chanting mundane songs. So that's one side. The other side is that one takes up devotional service, or one associates with devotees, let's say. One comes to the temple, one is pious, but one thinks that the chanting of the holy name is something else. And in this regard, I have to give my own experience. When I first came to the temple, I remember very clearly thinking that I was Krishna. In fact, I even thought that I had realized that I was God. And I couldn't quite understand why everybody else didn't know it too. But I had this idea that you chant Krishna, Krishna, Krishna until you become Krishna. You see the deity and then you merge with the deity. Or a guru, an American guru from the 60s, the years of the hippies, he wrote a book, and in that book he said, he gave definitions of bhakti. He said, bhakti means that you love the loved. In other words, you love the loved, Krishna, you love the loved until you become the loved. How poetical. But I don't know whether he got a worm's body or, you know, God is now residing as a cockroach somewhere. I don't know. Baba Ram Das. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures it's said that one can be liberated from the effects of sinful actions simply by chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is a mistake to think that I will commit sin and then I'll go to the temple and chant Hare Krishna. This is called Kunjara Socham, or the bathing of an elephant, Hati Snan. The Hati goes in the on the sand and or in the dry dirt of the desert and gets all dirty running around. Then he rushes down to the river and throws himself in the river and has a cool bath and gets quite clean. Then he comes out on the bank of the river again. Then he rolls in the sand and dirt and mud, scratching his back. But again, he's dirty. He got himself clean by bathing in the river, but again, he's dirty. So you may chant Hare Krishna and get some benefit, but if you commit sin and think that you'll be cleansed of that sin, no, if you continue to sin, then that's where you'll stay in sin. Just because you chanted Hare Krishna before doesn't matter. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some auspicious activity. So this chanting is not some Vedic ritual, just like there are so many rituals you find in many temples, and some pundits do the rituals, and you want blessings for your marriage, you want blessings for your job. In fact, there's one temple in Andhra where they have a list of things, whatever you want, you know, and you pay a little bit more for each thing, or a little bit less, or whatever. And the pundits will do some little havan, yajna, whatever it is. And there's so many rituals, even without the money business, so many rituals which come under the section of karma kanda. But chanting of Hare Krishna is completely transcendental, adhoksaja. It is not another Vedic ritual, it's a transcendental process. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And in English sometimes, in the Bible it is said, thou shalt not. You know, it's the Bible language. Thou shalt, thou means you. Thou shalt not cast or throw. Cast means to throw. Thou, you. Thou shalt not cast thy pearls. Pearls are valuable stones, or valuable, not stones, you can say, valuable jewels. Thou shalt not cast thy pearls to swine. So swine means pigs. So if you have a big bag full of expensive pearls, you don't start throwing them to the pigs. And similarly, the Bible is saying that the message of Godhead, as revealed in the Bible or any scripture, should be only given, especially the intimate message, should only be given to those who are serious to hear it. Otherwise, those who are not serious or those who are offensive, they'll simply make more offense and suffer. And your preaching, you may show off your preaching and feel proud of yourself, but you've committed an offense against the holy name. You can tell people to chant Hare Krishna, you can tell people to take prasad, but not the intimate glories. And the tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing so many instructions in the matter, and also to be inattentive while chanting. Now I'm going to pass out... these are... four, you get two each. Michael, you can pass these out. Two each. And this is in regards to, you better give me one of those. Oh, let's see. This is all threes and fours. Yeah, okay. This is in regards to something which I feel very, very strongly about. And certainly, I've been a member of ISKCON for 31 years. The last couple of years, I've been very seriously ill, so I've become a little slack. And now it's very hard for me to follow. But for 30 years, I have realized, I can say I don't have many realizations of God, but these are some of my realizations, that if you don't follow Prabhupada's instructions on Mangal Arati, you definitely should try to come to the temple. If you're my disciples, you must, even if you're anybody's disciples, because these are not my instructions, you must come to the temple for Mangal Arati at least once a week or twice a week if you can only come on the weekends, whatever it is. And you must have some kind of Mangal Arati in your home. If you can't come to the temple where it's very exciting and thrilling, then you must do it in your home. Something, Mangal Arati is there. If you believe it's just my speculation, my politics, read these letters from Srila Prabhupada. Everyone should attend Mangal Arati and chant 16 rounds daily. Where's one of the best ones? Okay, you must see that they strictly follow the regulative principles. This is for the managers. The four prohibitions, no meat, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. These are prohibitions. As well as the devotional practices of arising early, morning bath, putting on tilak, attending Mangal Arati, chanting japa 16 rounds, and attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. So you should do all these things in your home. Even if it's just you and your little daughter, and she keeps getting up and going here and there, whatever. You have your Bhagavatam class. If your family members participate with you, very good. They will be blessed all the more. But this is the duty of all my initiated disciples, whether they are big or they are small. So whether they've been around for, 6 months, initiated, or whether they've been around 25, 35 years, with big or small, this is for everybody. And then Srila Prabhupada on sadhana bhakti, the result of performing sadhana bhakti, the result of... This is all in regard to sadhana and temple president leadership, the necessity for performing sadhana bhakti. How will my business go on? How will this happen? These are instructions from Srila Prabhupada that you will be successful by following this process. Successful in every way, both materially and spiritually. Here again is something that I can't stress how much it means to me. I think it's the root of all problems in any institution. Now, these are from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Please keep them in your house, read them, consider them in your interaction with devotees. Because you're taking initiation through me, I will request all of you to, amongst all your other duties, that the prime focus in your life should be Vaishnav Seva. So here it says, if your aim is to achieve love of Godhead, beware of, watch out for, be careful of Vaishnava Aparad. Just to give you an example, these were things said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any person who sides with a Vaishnava against another Vaishnava and criticizes him is destined to be destroyed. This is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of them are by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Most of them are by the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. If Vaishnavas are offended even by an assembly of renunciates, sannyasis, such an assembly is more irreligious than a group of drunkards. For the drunkards, there is still a chance of salvation. But those who are critical of Vaishnavas, there is no hope for liberation. So please avoid Vaishnava aparad of all kinds. It is better to be humble and avoid any kind of conflict. We want to keep our institution as a happy family, and you know, being right. You may feel I'm right in this, but sometimes it's wrong to be right. You can think about that. Sometimes it's wrong to be right. It's better to have loving relationships with Vaishnavas. The last few things I want to stress, I want you all to promise to me now that your first loyalty is to ISKCON and to Srila Prabhupada. I'm giving you Diksha, but I'm a member of ISKCON and I'm a follower of Srila Prabhupada, and if I do not strictly adhere to the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, or if I do not follow his institution, then I am not worthy to be followed. So, Panchamukha, you understand this very well. Huh? Your loyalty, first loyalty, is to Prabhupada and ISKCON, right? Rajesh, where's your loyalty lie? Where? What is your first responsibility? Huh? Thank you very much. And Sumir? Huh? Srila Prabhupada and? ISKCON, okay. And who else? And to the governing body commission. And your Guru Maharaj is a servant of the governing body commission. Sunita, where is your loyalty? Huh? Say loudly. I can't hear, I'm deaf anyway. I'm sure it's right. Huh? She said right? Mamta? ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada and governing body. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. And I have been in Bombay, I don't exist, 25 years. I was here in the beginning of this project. I was in Vrindavan. I was thinking of leaving my body, or I was thinking Krishna would take me out of my body. I was happy in Vrindavan. It's a beautiful place. But my Ishtadevas, Radha Rasbihari, they brought me back here to Bombay. I don't know why. I don't know their reason yet, but they brought me here. And now I'm no longer in Vrindavan. Radha Shyam Sundar are so beautiful. But my Ishtadev is Radha Rasbihari. Other temples have come up, Radha Giridhari, Radha Gopinath. I like them very much. They have a nice congregation at Radha Gopinath temple that we can learn about. Our congregation, our congregational managers should go there and find out what it is they do right and try to copy success. It's another business. Actually, I should set up a business consultancy. Make a lot of money for Krishna. You copy success. Wherever you find success, don't be envious of it, but copy the good things. But I must say that I spend my Sundays at Radha Rasbihari Temple. Radha Rasbihari are my life and soul. If you want to serve me, then you will help me serve Radha Rasbihari and Sri Sri Gaurinitai and Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Srila Prabhupada. So, I'm sorry for taking your time. Now, is there anything left? I think that's we can. Okay. Okay, this is Panchamukha Das, who will now offer his obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. And when you offer obeisances, please offer obeisances loudly. We have this temple here. The sound will not go outside the walls. You won't disturb anyone. But chant obeisances loudly. Srila Prabhupada asked for that. Panchamukha Das is serving in Sweden since 1981 or 82 or something. Amviksgard, which is a big farm project there. He's been in different places in Sweden, but now it is run by Smita Krishna Swami, my dear godbrother, and a very saintly person, very wonderful devotee. So you can make sure your feet don't face Prabhupada, okay? Panchamukha, you can see he's very experienced here because he's gone through this initiation once before. So he knows what to do. We hope, there's a saying in English, third time lucky. We hope he won't have to go through the third time. I'll try to be a good boy. I'm getting too old to run away. Today is Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, and Panchamukha's old friends will have to forget his old name. Now your name is Gaura Hari Das. If you like, you can follow the regular. No. What are the four? I did this the last time. I think I'm a Raganuga Bhakta or something. What are the four regulative principles? Loudly. Loudly.
No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, and no eating of meat, fish, or eggs.
Panchamukha was also a cook. It's one of his many talents. He's also aspiring to take sannyas, and he's taking first and second reinitiation here today. And he's trying to get on the 5-year waiting list to take sannyas. He was married many years ago, and it was finished married many years ago also. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
I'll chant at least 16 rounds every day.
He says he'll chant at least 64 rounds every day. Okay. I'm a little deaf, so... 16, okay. Thank you. So, Rajesh Prabhu... Rajesh is one of the famous MBAs in Bombay. I think it's become at least about 10 years ago, it started to become a very big thing. Before, you know, BCom, everybody had BComs. Even today, everybody gets BComs or they go after medical. But now the big thing is MBA. So, Rajesh is an MBA out of work, but he comes from a very good family and lives in Juhu with his sister, and they have loving parents, and they serve here at Radharas Bihari Temple. If there's any Kraurpatis who need a good MBA, here's one. Any here today? Rajesh, do you remember what the four regulative principles are? Yeah, what are they?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Anything else?
Chanting a minimum of 16 rounds daily.
Okay. Rajesh likes to read Prabhupada's books, so, you know, if you... chanting is more than 16 is good, it's very good. 16 is the minimum. But if you can read Prabhupada's books, that is also very important. And so 16 is the minimum. And there's one other thing that is very famous in India, part of Dharma, regulative principle. What is that? Part of Sanatan Dharma. You don't know? Every young boy has to get his younger sister married before he can marry. I'm not, you know, it's not my responsibility. Okay. Your name is Ramai Pandit Das. Ramai Pandit is the brother of Srivas Thakur in Chaitanya Leela in Mayapur. Yeah. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Prithivi te achejato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mor nam. Someday, every nagar in the world would become a devotee. So here's one nagar, Sumir Nagar, who is getting initiation today. Sumir, I think, also is a businessman. He has a loving family, two wonderful children, and in a few weeks, another one. Which is very nice. If you can support them, have lots of children and make them Krishna conscious. Otherwise, Hamdo Hamare Do is nice, but the main point is to make your family all God conscious. What are the four regulative principles loudly?
No meat eating, illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling.
And?
Chanting 16 rounds a day, minimum of 16 rounds.
Actually, Sumir also likes to read Prabhupada's books. I'm very happy to see that. And I was reminded a little bit of Nimai Sannyas today. There's one drama called Nimai Sannyas. Now, of course, it's right from Chaitanya Bhagavat, but there's also a famous drama written about it. I know, I saw it with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta in 1973 or whatever, and the most piteous scene, of course, Bengalis are good actors in general, or at least many good actors come from Bengal. I won't say Bengalis are, not every, but many good actors come from Bengal, and the most heart-wrenching scene is where Nimai comes back for the last time to meet his mother, and he had beautiful, hair, brown, black, blackish hair, and he had shaved it all off, and his mother was crying, and, you know, it's very hard, it's a big sacrifice, I know, but in one sense, when a family relative dies, what do? Anybody know? Shave your head. When you go to Tirupati, what do? Shave your head, even Jagannath Puri and other holy places. But this is not a permanent thing, obviously, it's not going to, you know, be like this, but it's at this time it shows a little extra sincerity that he has shaved his head as a sacrifice to Krishna to please his spiritual master. And that's exactly what it does. It does please the spiritual master. So, because today is the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I really want to meditate on Chaitanya Leela, but especially Mayapur Chaitanya Leela, and even you can say the Mayapur temple of Vedic Planetarium. Your new name is Sachinandan Das. Sachinandan Prabhu is one of my dear god brothers, Sachinandan Maharaj, and he's very sweet, full of nectar. If you ever get a chance to meet and associate with Sachinandan Maharaj, not at GBC, he's not a big organizer or manager, but sweet, sweet, sweet. Sunita. So, Sunita also lives here in Juhu, and I think she's doing also what many young girls are doing in Bombay nowadays after taking some college course. Everybody's doing a computer course. I don't know, maybe it's, before, a qualification of a young lady was she could cook, she could sew, she could this or that, and it would enhance her chances of getting a good husband and being happy in family life. But in these days, you've got to have a computer course. You can cook, but if you don't have a computer course... So, Sunita, how many rounds would you like to chant every day? What do you think? 108. She's going to chant 108 rounds. Let's be more practical. What's the minimum?
16
rounds. Okay, good. And what other principles will you strictly follow all your life?
Following my instruction of my guru.
Following the instructions of your guru. What's the instructions of the guru and our whole prompt? Give us the four regulative principles.
No meditating, no gambling, no intoxication, and
it happens. It happened to me too. You forget everything. I've never actually seen. Sunita's a very nice girl, very steady, hardworking, but she's not always like, I'm always smiling. I can't stop. It's pasted on, But I've never seen her smile more than today. So she's no illicit sex. No illicit sex means outside of family life. In the strictest sense, this is what it means. You should definitely all try to follow this. This is what Prabhupada gave us. No illicit sex means once a month for the purpose of procreation. Otherwise, we find our fun in chanting and dancing and feasting and glorifying the Lord. That's how we get our fun. Genital sex is for procreation. And Shastra allows it once a month. If you follow that, then you're still eligible for spiritual life. Generally, they say a grihastha loses immediately 50% of his chance of achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, because his attention is other places than devotional service. And of course, one of those places is sex attraction. But if you follow this procedure properly, then you will be as good as any sannyasi or sannyasini or whatever. And let's see. Yes. I have one disciple. Again, I like to focus on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Leela in Mayapur, and where's that Bhutahari? I have one Sachi Devi disciple in Slovenia, and therefore your new name is Sachi Priya Dasi. Mamta Dasi, as you may have already guessed, Mamta is the younger sister of Ramai Pandit Prabhu, and they're like, as we say, peas in a pod. What Krishna keeps peas in, that little green covering, matar, Krishna packages it in a pod. Not Guru pod or Prabhupada, a different kind of pod. So when something is very similar and very close, like peas in a pod, that's the expression. So actually, Ramai Pandit and Mamta, they're kind of like peas in a pod. They're very similar and very nice devotees, very sweet people. And Mamta, what are the four regulative principles? Loudly.
No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, and no illicit sex.
What else?
Chanting minimum of 16 hours.
Every day. Okay. Now, as you, some people may even be wondering, and that's a whole other lecture. Have you got another hour or so? people may be wondering how, in December, I was practically slipping away. It looked like Krishna had other plans for me, my karma had caught up with me, my sins were overpowering me, it looked like I was going. And then gradually I came out of semi-comatose condition, and my godbrothers came and gave me their associations, and I got letters and telephone calls, and I was the most fortunate person in the world, I think, to have so many Vaishnavas expressing their love and affection. It really did a lot for me, to me. So then gradually I started to come out. I attended Rath Yatra for an hour in Radha Gopinath Temple. I attended Rath Yatra here at Radharas Bihari Temple, which, by the way, I'd like to say was the best Rath Yatra I've ever attended in Bombay. The cooperation between all the temples was so beautiful. The three carts, and it can only get bigger and bigger. But, you know, now here I am, after that, still my health is not good, but here I am giving initiation. And one may wonder how that's possible, but there are five factors in every action: the place, the time, the endeavor, and the karma. What is that? Karma, kala, desha. Five factors: place, time, the work, and the senses. The place, the time, the work, and the senses. The fifth factor is super soul, paramatma. In other words, you can control the other four, the place or the time. Like doctors, they try to control medicine, they try to control your health by different material solutions. But as we say in Bengali, Rake Krishna Marike Mari Krishna Rakeke, ultimately everything is in Krishna's hands. So by Krishna's arrangement, somehow I will carry on. I have no doubt of this, actually. I shouldn't be so confident, maybe, but I feel it. So I will carry on, and I will get a little stronger, and I'll do more and more service to the community, because my life is meant for serving the Vaishnavas. That's all I think of. I want to follow in the line of Rasika Nanda and many other Vaishnavas, even this associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's doctor. He wrote the Kadachas, Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta also dedicated his life to serving all the Vaishnavas. He was a doctor. He didn't give up his medical practice, but he got the money from that and used it to serve the Vaishnavas. But especially Rasikananda, he attained perfection just by serving the Vaishnavas. So anyway, one of those devotees who came to see me, and we discussed an email, she would be coming, and so many things, but somehow she got captured by time as well as the other temple. We'll get further into that one, the other temple. And she wasn't able to come and see me, which I was really sad about, because she's an old friend, a very good devotee, and one of the first, very first. And now she's the first GBC soul in a woman's body, who is a governing body commissioner. So your new name is Malati Devi Dasi. Malati is the wife of Srivas Thakur, and you know, you should not be in Bombay and not come to see me from time to time, like my god sister. She had an excuse. You don't. Mira Road is a long way from Juhu for some people. Forget the fact that I came 10,000 miles, but I'm sorry for taking so much of your time. I really am. It was a long lecture. I apologize especially to Devaki Nandan Prabhu, and we'll try to make it up to him somehow or other. For we owe a great vote of thanks to Devaki Nandan Prabhu for doing the fire yajna today. He's the yajnic priest, and he's very important in your initiation. So please render any service that he asks from you.